CCW.
Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling. Now on Turnbuckle Time. Keeping you up to date on all the turns, pushes, and storylines.
Hey, now it's Turnbuckle Time. Joining me once again on the line, Shane Loughran, all the way in Vernon. Shane, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I have some in-laws visiting all the way from Russia, and it's been kind of interesting. They don't speak any English, so I didn't know what we could really bond over. Came home the other day. Mm-hmm. One of the Russians is watching WWE Raw, so you know it's cool. Pro wrestling, international, bringing people together. And you know what? It looked like he hated The Miz. He didn't understand what he was saying, but absolutely hated The Miz's promo about Subway. So, you know, that's cool that we have professional wrestling to bond over. Isn't that sweet?
I think that is sweet. I think that maybe he didn't hear about the firing of Vladimir Kozlov, though, because that's probably what he tuned in for.
I'm not going to tell him that. It looks like he's a bigger gentleman. I think he'd choke me out. So I'll just say he's on a conditioning stint with Florida. If he even knows what that means.
Anyways, thank you for that, Shane. We're recapping some ECCW events. We're also going to be looking at some ICW wrestling that happened at the Agra Fair a few weeks back, including mainly ECCW wrestlers, but performing under the ICW brand that also involved Canadian wrestler, WWE Attitude Era legend, dare I say. A lot of people know him. It was Val Sean Morley Venus.
I don't know. Legend, I don't think so. Maybe WWE Attitude Era legend.
That's what I said.
Get one of those really first kind of risque, really, they're going to do a porn star angle. But as far as his in-ring work and titles, I don't know if he can quite be a legend. Plus, never featured in the WWE games as a legend. So just this superstar.
Superstar
still great,
legend.
Though, still great.
Superstar legend, yeah.
Come down.
Well, anyways. So he was wrestling with the ECCW clan at ICW, but we're here mainly to recap ECCW Texas Bull Rope. It happened July at the Bridgeview Hall. Let's start it out, Shane. Run down the main event, which had Tony Baroni taking on Pete Powers. Now, they've been building this little program for a while now, dating back to when Casey Spinelli was getting messed with by Pete Powers, turns Pete Powers heel, which we definitely liked. We liked that turn in Pete Powers. He became a member of the Natural Selection, taking on Tony Baroni for his undisputed NWA ECCW Canadian Heavyweight Championship. And not in just any old match, Shane, but a Texas Bull Rope match. And you weren't there for the event. You got the tape, though. I was at the event live. And for me, I thought the match suffered because it's a very hard match to pull off, hauling a guy around by a big rope with a cowbell in the middle, no less. We didn't expect that, but there was a cowbell in the middle to use as a weapon, and I thought it kind of dragged, and I thought it kind of hindered the match. What were your thoughts on this one?
I actually just got home. I haven't been able to watch this one yet, but I'm sounding like it was a little disappointing. Going into this one, I thought it would be a great showcase for Pete Powers. He has the size. And having that rope attached, I thought, you know, being a bigger guy, he could do some more creative moves, you know, maybe some different chokes, some different throws, some slingshot maneuvers. And it doesn't sound like that's what we saw in the match.
It's not that it was a bad match. It's not that it was a boring match. It's just that it wasn't anything new that I hadn't seen in another bull rope or strap match. In that there were, like, you were hinting at the creativity. I didn't notice any overly creative spots. And the one spot that was supposed to be the big one didn't exactly turn out as planned.
Yes, I didn't see the match, but I did see that you sent me a quick video the night of. And disappointing, I guess, for the wrestlers, but come on, that was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. What we're talking about, of course, I haven't posted any videos yet. Tony Baroni propping up Pete Powers on a table outside of the ring, getting ready to possibly do a Baroni sandwich on him from the top turnbuckle to the outside. Don't know what the intended spot was, if it was for Baroni to crash through Powers, but ECCW needs to look at where they're getting their tables, because it literally marshmallowed under Pete Powers' weight, and that looked to be the high spot of the match that was going to do it all in, and didn't exactly work, and it probably blew weeks of planning. So
yeah, but at the same time, you know, if Baroni jumps on to Pete Powers, he goes to the table, that's a one-off. We talk about it once. You know, I think I'll be showing that to many people over the next few years and just enjoying a good laugh whenever I need it with that one. So I think the blooper, it's kind of funny. We don't see a lot of, you know, F-ups in ECCW, so I thought it was just hilarious.
I thought it was funny, too. Let's not get it twisted. I thought it was funny, but at the same time, I felt bad for them. Anyways, it ends up Tony Baroni landing the Baroni Buster and slamming all four pads right in front of the Natural's face, who was constantly trying to interfere, and retains his title. Where do you see this program heading now? Or was that the blow-off, do you think?
I think that would be the blow-off. Like you said, they've been working this program for, it seems like, a few months now, starting off with Pete Powers bullying Casey Spinelli. And, you know, Pete Powers obviously comes up short, but in the long run, I don't think losing to Baroni really buries him in the card or on the roster. I think now he's going to stay in main event status, stay a contender for the championship. So I think the program's probably over, but I like where Pete Powers and Baroni is sitting. Makes the champion look a little bit more legitimate. He's taken on bigger athletes, smaller athletes, and he's got it done. So I'm pretty happy with the way the program turned out, and just interested to see where they go with Powers and Baroni now.
Totally. One, the only suggestion I might have, if you were going to do a bull rope or a strap match again, is maybe have it as a one fall match as opposed to slamming four corners, which can be pretty tedious. And sometimes, like I was mentioning to you off mic here, once you've seen the guy get dragged off that fourth corner a few times, it kind of loses its value. Do you know what I mean? I think a one fall match might be a little bit better. Still let them go at each other like a son of a bitch, but let him have a fall instead of slamming four pads, which can sometimes be kind of, dare I say, boring.
I got to ask, though, you were at the event live, how many times did you hear more cowbell yelled out in the crowd?
I think I said it once or twice, but I don't think that Bridgery crowd is clever enough, to be quite honest with you. No.
Classic Christopher Walken, come on.
I don't know if they know who Christopher Walken is.
And was the cowbell used as a weapon? Did he bounce it off Pete Powers' head?
Oh, a few times.
Nice.
It was good. I didn't expect... That was a pleasant surprise that they used a cowbell, so... Woo!
More cowbell in the future in ECCW.
Yes. Always more cowbell. Next one, probably of importance that I'll run down, but probably the one I was the least satisfied with in this card. I'm not gonna split hairs here. Sid Salem taking on Scotty Mac. We went into depth in this one in our preview for the event that they had some history here. Salem taking Scotty's belt, Scotty taking Salem's belt. A lot of history, especially with the Natch involved and stuff like that. And this match didn't live up to expectation by a long shot. Pretty basic match, nothing special in the ring. And then about 4 minutes in, Salem gets attacked by not only Natural Selection, but all of the administration. Salem on the short end of things again. Not much of a comeback, eh?
Not much of a comeback, but for this one, I was surprised to even see it on the card at Bull Rope. Just seeing those guys had so much history, and they didn't really build to this match at all. But I can understand this match being a bit of a squash and a bit of a wash, just because these guys will definitely tangle in the future. They just need that time to build the program, build up that anticipation. And I think that's why we saw this match end so quick. It's just there to move this story along. Move this Sid Salem saga. You know, he's got the administration coming after him. He's got the Selection. And just to kind of see, all right, what's Salem's next move, I think it's just slowly building to a big main event, either against Scotty Mac or somebody in the Selection for Sid Salem. But I think we just have to take our time, and, you know, I trust ECCW with this one.
And you say moving the storyline along. Well, then move it along. Like, we've seen Sid get the shit kicked out of him the last three shows in a row. They swept.
But at least this leaves a question in our mind. It's like, all right, obviously the odds are stacked against Salem. He can't go in there
alone.
We knew that
to begin with when he returned.
Drastic.
He returned to get the crap
drastic.
Kicked out of him.
He's got
to
create, you know, a faction for himself, recruit somebody. It just makes you wonder, all right, Salem, you know, he needs to do something. What is he going to do next? And that's why I'm intrigued, and that's why I think it's going to work.
I was thinking that about a month ago, because the guy returned to get the crap kicked out of him.
So
I think in wrestling, you always want to rush things, but in the long run, I think
I don't want to rush
and properly build these characters and this storyline. It takes time. Just like at WWE, the CM Punk thing was hot, and they killed it by just rushing it too fast. And I think ECCW, they have time, and I really don't have a problem with it.
I expect something absolutely spectacular, because they've been doing the same thing over and over. And what have we developed? One, that Sid is becoming a glorified punching bag. Two, that he's outnumbered. And three, that he needs to get bailed out by Jason Sullivan. What does that say to me? That says nothing. That says he's has to get bailed out by Jason Sullivan every time. That doesn't put over Sid on a comeback from a guy who used to be a double champ. They've swept every other storyline under the rug. I don't want to say I'm not impressed, but I'm becoming impatient.
Well, there's a lot of different ways they can go. All right, Sid Stadium had all this success before this injury. He comes back without the natural selection. He can't win a match. He's looking weak. You know, they could play with that, and I think that just builds more heat between the selection and Stadium. I'm being patient with this.
All right. I'll move on from that one. We spent a lot of time on it last time, so I'm man enough to move on. Next match. Moondog Manson defending his hardcore championship that he won back from Ravenous Randy at Circle of Fear. He's taking on the big boy Bishop, who is the number one contender for the big boy strap. Bishop somehow gets wrangled into fighting a hardcore match for the title because he's held the belt before, so maybe that's a little bit of incentive. These guys go out and beat the crap out of each other. Moondog very much the face in this one. I talked about him kind of becoming the lovable hardcore teddy bear. Well, it was firmly cemented because he was over with the crowd. These guys go out. Bishop pretty much takes it to Moondog the whole match. I'm going to say Moondog probably controlled about 10% of this match. Bishop goes up for the big splash on the turnbuckle, misses, and lands face first on a chair. Moondog rolls over and gets the pin. Straightforward stuff. Here's the real swerve. Michael Sweetster comes out. Why? I don't know. I don't recall him having any beef with Moondog Manson, and pretty much says that hardcore wrestling doesn't belong in ECCW, strips him of the title, and pretty much abolishes the belt. Moondog, a little bit hot under the collar. This is his livelihood. This is all Moondog knows how to do. He's not going to go in there and be a high flyer. He gets pissed, and he walks out, and before he walked out, he muttered to himself, I don't know if you want people to hear it, but I heard it, that he was going to ASW, All-Star Wrestling. So a little bit of a shocker there. Where do you think this one's heading, and why do you think the administration would involve themselves with Moondog Manson?
Well, in the past, we spoke about the hardcore division in ECCW and how we see, you know, Ravis Randy fight Moondog Manson in two matches. And then after that, you know, who does he fight? The hardcore division isn't that deep. There's not a lot of hardcore guys in ECCW right now. And I think the fans are saying that too. So, Sweetster, you heard us saying it, you heard the fans saying it. So, you know what? We don't have a division here. We're just going to get rid of it. It kind of makes me wonder where insane Bill Coltrane is in, you know, with all of this. I thought he had some power in ECCW too. So maybe we could see an angle where Bill Coltrane comes back, says, you know, Moondog's been a loyal guy to us. You know, he deserves to be champion, and this division should be in ECCW. I think maybe that's one way they could do it, but I don't know. I think we definitely haven't seen the last of Moondog Manson. And with the All-Star Wrestling thing, we have Michelle Starr and Disco Fury coming up on an ECCW card, maybe hinting at some sort of cross-promotion or invasion angle. Again, I'm intrigued. So far I'm liking the bull rope event, and it leaves a lot of open doors.
Do you think this whole abolishing the hardcore title, do you think this is legit? Do you think that maybe ECCW has realized, like, in fact, I'm talking not storyline, I'm talking shoot, that they've realized that the hardcore title doesn't have any competition? It is just Moondog going out there and bleeding, and then perhaps it is time to end it? Or do you think, and that they've tried to kind of do it through a storyline, or do you think this is part of a storyline that sees maybe Moondog come back at the administration, maybe with Bill Coltrane or whatever?
You know what, I think the hardcore title, even if there isn't a lot of competition in that division, I think it's still fun, and as far as a marketing perspective goes, I think it's great when you have an ECCW card and it says hardcore match or hardcore championship. You know, fans still love that, and I know when they toured way back in the day, I think it was 2000, 2001, they came to Smithers, and we looked at the card and say, oh my God, there's a hardcore championship match. Bring your own weapons. And I know that's what brought me in, so I don't think they'll get rid of it just for a marketing standpoint as far as selling certain shows. I think it goes a long way. But storyline-wise, it's going to be interesting to see how they bring it back. And I don't know. I'm I'm just going to be a fan and just watch it unfold.
And the next match, this one, in my opinion, match of the night. Opening the card, Nick Price taking on Artemis Spencer. These two met at the Pack Cup. We didn't exactly give it rave reviews, but that being said, Nick Price was coming off a lengthy injury break, perhaps a little bit rusty. And we had talked to Nick Price before those events, and he said, you know, I legitimately want to give this a good tilt, and I've been looking forward to wrestling Artie for a long time, and this is something I want to put in some good work at. And fell a little bit short last time, but these guys had a chance to make good this time, and in my opinion, they did just that. Started out the card, lots of energy. Artie, I'm liking Artie's face character. He was kind of a quiet heel who kind of just was just a heel because he kind of rolled with the church. But Artie's a good guy. He's a friendly guy. He seems to be over with the crowd, and he was getting the crowd all over Price. One thing that was interesting about this match, Scotty Mack doing commentary, he was getting quite involved with Artie. Artie at one point taking his hat and kind of teasing him, which brought Scotty to the ring. Artie clocks him, ends up in a big schmoz DQ. Nick Price over Artie. The belt doesn't change hands, but what I was interested in was why Nick Price leaving with Scotty Mack.
Well, if you've been following Scotty Mack on Twitter, he's had a few shout-outs to his boy, Price. So I'm assuming there's some affiliation there, maybe seeing a potential in Price, maybe taking him under his wing, kind of a recruit for the administration. Because you need somebody loyal. Dropkick Murphy, can you really rely on that guy? No, not very loyal. You know, when Price was in, he was in Icons, seemed loyal, always together, always a tight group. Well, maybe not towards the end. But I think maybe an understudy, Price could be a good understudy to Scotty Mack and maybe try to take out, and I know there's a little feud here going between Artemis and Scotty Mack, so maybe Scotty takes Price under his wing, trains him, and tries to take out Artie that way from a distance.
Should be interesting. I thought that was kind of... Because we've been talking about Nick Price kind of does need something to do. He was kind of working a quasi-program with Red Money. They're a best-of-three series, which they still haven't resolved. They're at one apiece. I'm still waiting for the rubber match on that one. And all of a sudden, he's out there with the administration. I don't mind the move. I'd like to see where it's going, if, in fact, maybe it was just a one-off or what happens here. But I think it would be cool to see what Price is doing, almost become like a mini Scotty Mack. They look like they have the same type of cockiness and maybe not the same stupid sideburns, but... He looked like he could be an understudy to Scotty Mack, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think he would be a good fit, and having somebody a little bit more vocal in the administration. That V guy, we don't hear a lot from him. We don't hear a lot from Dropkick Murphy. You know, to get somebody else on the mic, you know, give Scotty Mack the night off. I think Price would fit that role nicely.
And not only that, but I've said it a few times. Price, for some reason, while sometimes his in the ring performance isn't right up to scratch, he can draw heat, and that's maybe the administration needs a little bit more heat, because like you said, it's really only Scotty Mack and Sweetstar on a consistent basis, so maybe they need another guy who's going to be there at every show to be the dick just like they are.
And the Sweetstar character, you just boo him because you're supposed to boo him, not because you hate him, you know, not because he's doing anything special. You know, he's the evil owner, you boo him. But Price, you boo him because he's getting under your skin, you know, he's saying all the right things, and I think that'd be a great addition.
This match I also very much enjoyed. Nicole Matthews and Rick, two of the finest heels in the promotion. Nicole and Rick, and they're taking on two of the syrupiest baby faces in Ray Brooks and Casey Spinelli. Now, obviously, we have the whole Ray Brooks and Nicole Matthews thing. Thank God it's over. But Ray Brooks took to the mic and reminded us that this thing did go on. Said that he hated having Nicole as his valet. And then Ray takes the mic and calls the 50-50 girl into the ring.
You know the 50-50 girl has a name, Corey. It's kind of disrespectful to call her just the 50-50 girl. I spoke with her once. She seemed like a nice girl. I think you need to show a little bit more respect than that, Corey.
I was going to introduce her, but until then, okay. Nobody knew her as anything else but 50-50 girl, so...
I don't think you're implying that everybody's as shallow as you. I don't think that's the case. I'm sorry.
Anyways, announces her as Miss Mandy and says, guess what? She is his new valet. How do you like that, Shane?
Why does Ray Brooks need a valet to begin with? We talked to him. You talked to him a while back on Turnbuckle Time, and he's kind of a nerd. Like, he doesn't seem like a ladies' man, but all of a sudden he has all these hot smoking valets, Nicole Matthews, now this Mandy. Does he need that? I don't know. I don't really know where they're going with that. Are they turning him into this nerd that all the ladies can't resist, or he has some sort of charm over females, but you don't know why? Like, I don't understand.
The prepubescence in the crowd really seemed to like him. Just wanted to throw that out there before the match. It really had no bearing on the match itself. Pretty much what we expected, a good heel versus face. These Rick and Nicole are just fantastic. They had good interaction on the promo before on ECCW.com and on YouTube. I suggest you go check that out if you want a glimpse of what they might look like when they're kind of interacting off of each other's characters. And they did more of that in the ring. Rick taking every opportunity to own fans, and I love that. I can't get enough of when fans just get torn down by the evil heel, and he did most of that. And you know what, the syrupy sweet baby faces didn't go over in this one. Heels rule the day. Nicole rolls the dice on Ray Brooks, a little bit of vengeance, and this one ends ugly. But do you think anything else builds from Ray and Nicole?
I think you got to put an end to this. It never really went anywhere to begin with. We always questioned, all right, is Nicole going to be jealous of Ray? Ray going to be jealous of Nicole? How are they going to play this? And they just kind of said, you know what, they're parting ways. That's it. So I think that one's done with this new Mandy. Who knows what's going to happen there? But to be a good valet, you got to have a good get up. You got to be good on the mic. You know, is she dressed nice? Is she on the mic? Do you think she can handle it being a pro wrestling valet?
I don't know what she's like on the mic, but I can tell you that she wears very little. She looked like she
very
was
very little. That's always good as a valet. I think that works. She wore 50% already after her first appearance.
What she wore into the ring with Ray Brooks at this event, pretty sure most of my girlfriends don't wear to bed. It was very revealing, let's just say.
Well, when you're wearing that little, you really don't have to say much on the mic either to get a good response from the crowd. So, hey, maybe she'll do all right as a ECCW valet.
We'll have to see. And finally,
you know, with Tennille Taylor out, there hasn't been as many wardrobe malfunctions. Front row tickets, I don't know if it's worth the extra $3-4. So maybe now it'll be worth a little extra to sit in the front row.
Shane Lochran, resident pervert.
I'm proud of that.
Two matches to go on the card. One of them, Cremator and Jason Sullivan. This one, it happened right after Jason Sullivan comes out and bails Sid for the umpteenth time. Sullivan looking to almost get the victory over Cremator in this one, who was with the German Druid, Rigger Von Slasher. But Jason Sullivan, in the match, happening to knock out Robert Mitchell by accident, by no fault of his own. These wrestlers never mean to do that, but it happens. And Michael Sweetser comes out as acting ref and fast counts Jason Sullivan's shoulders to the mat, pretty much screwing Jason Sullivan. So I think we're going to see something there. I think they're building on something with Jason Sullivan and the admin now. Whereas before, Sully was kind of taking on everybody. He was kind of like the freedom fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Now he looks like he's focusing on that administration, especially after Sweetser screwed him. The match itself, meh. Storyline development, I'll take. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the Sweetster screw job sounds a lot like the screw job that happened to Sid Sylan when he lost the belt way back in the day to Scotty Mack. So, you know, since Sullivan and Sylan kind of been close, Sullivan's been bailing out Sylan. And as I said earlier in the show, Sylan's going to need to recruit somebody, you know, create a faction of his own to go up against the administration. Obviously, they're building that, you know, he can't do it by himself. So I think the screw job, they have something in common. We've both been burned by this guy. Maybe a way to, you know, implode this whole thing is to go right to the top and take out Sweetster. We've both been screwed. You know, he's that bolt in the whole apparatus that if you unscrew it, the whole thing falls down. So, again, I don't know. I'm liking everything they're doing here, and I think that would be a great direction for them to go with it.
I think that's probably where they're headed. And finally, the last match, actually right before the main event, which I thought was funny positioning for this match, which I would have probably put second in line. Mike Santiago, the DOA Pure Champion, coming up from the U.S. of I to take on Jordy Taylor, resident greenhorn, who's looking better and better every time we see him wrestle in the ring. I'm going to touch on him more about the ICW wrestling because he was there putting in some very good work. He comes up short against Mike Santiago, who we're just starting to get to see more of. I'm liking him. I think he's all right. And don't really have much to say on the match. Pretty straightforward, pretty textbook. Mike Santiago wins with a spinning forearm smash, I believe it was. Don't exactly know the name of that finisher, but it looked pretty nasty. Obviously, probably just a one-off, but I think long time coming maybe for Jordy Taylor in that first win in ECCW.
I thought he lost that match.
That's what I mean. It's going to be a long time coming.
Oh, I thought you said it was a little, yeah. All right, you confused me, but I'm back on the page. Sorry there, Corey, you're boring me. I tuned out just for a second. But, yeah, Taylor, you know, the resident whipping boy is a part of Team Dangerfield, I said. Get no respect, and yeah, it's just a matter of time, but this is seems like just a throwaway match.
Yes. Okay, Shane, our favorite part of the show, our absolute favorite part of the show, tops, flops, and a out of 10 rating. I'm going to pass the buck over to you, Shane, like I traditionally do, putting you on the spot once again. What is your top for this show?
My top is going to be... I just like the Asylum Scotty Mack thing. I know you... That might even be your flop for this because you said you like the match. But I don't think it was really about the match. I think it was about them just bringing this feud back, shining a little bit more spotlight on it before these two guys finally throw down. And I just like the direction. I like the slow build. They're not pushing it too fast. They're not rushing it. So I'm going to say, you know, the Asylum, Scotty Mack, the whole Asylum saga. I'm going to say that's the top.
It's a good thing we agree to disagree here, Shane, because I'm my blood is boiling right now. My top was probably the Moondog Manson stripping of the Hardcore Championship. That opened up so many doors. I love Moondog in that Hardcore Teddy Bear role. It's interesting. I hope they do something with it. I hope it's not a legit expulsion of the Hardcore division, because I like the Hardcore every now and then. Let's not get it twisted. But this was my favorite. It was fantastic. And it's good to see Moondog in a meaningful angle. It's not just him getting slugged over the head with a chair. Like, I legitimately care about what happens in this angle, and I'm pumped. I can't wait to see what happens, and I hope it comes back to bite Mike Sweetster in the ass. What is your flop?
For my flop, I'm looking back at my notes here on the card, and I really don't have a lot of negatives here, so I'm just going to go back to the Ray Brooks thing and just saying I don't think he needs a valet. It's not important right now. It's not a part of his gimmick. And, yeah, I don't think he needs it, so I'm going to put that as a flop, his new valet, Mandy, coming out, and I'm just kind of throwing away the Nicole Matthews angle. And that's about as bad as I can do. It's not a large flop. It's not a 300-pound fat guy in the lake going off the deck in summer belly flop, but it's
what?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
So flopping my balls on somebody's chin, just a light tap.
Okay, my flop is the Sid Salem Scotty match. I thought with all the history, they could have done something a bit better. While you're right, I do have to be patient, and you're right because sometimes I am a little bit pushy. Salem's been back like a month and a half now, and every show he comes out and gets the crap kicked out of him, then bailed out by Sullivan. There's nothing new there. Move
it
along.
Maybe just a little bit too close to this whole thing, Corey. I know you and Sid Salem, you frequent beers, and you know he's getting his ass kicked, and I can understand
okay.
why you're upset.
Can I ask you something?
No.
Okay, then why are you on this show? Yeah. I might as well just hang up the phone right now.
All right, ask what?
If the same thing happened to anybody, what would you think? Like, what happens if Bishop, guy was dominant force, didn't even get really beat for his titles. He forfeited one and got screwed on another. He was the champion forever. Nobody could beat him. He goes out on an injury, comes back, and then gets buried for a month and a half straight. What would you think?
What would I think? I would...
Would you not move it along?
If they did the exact same thing with Silent, I think I would still be if they did the same thing with Bishop, sorry, I think I'd be intrigued, you know. What's Bishop going to do? Who's he going to recruit? And how is he going to take down this, you know, unmovable object that is the administration and the natural selection? I think the same intrigue would be there. And I think I'm just getting a little bit more patient as a wrestling fan in general that, you know, I can take my time and just enjoy these storylines unfolding.
But I don't find the interest enough in it to be patient, if you get what I'm saying. Like, what has happened so far has not intrigued me. I don't want to be patient. I kind of want to see an end to it already, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not... Like, what has been overly intriguing about watching Asylum, or put anybody in his shoes, get the crap kicked out of him for a month and a half straight? There better be something wicked coming, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but he first few times he comes out, he gets the crap kicked out of him. If he comes out the next time and he cleans house, then it's like, well, what was the point of him getting his ass kicked last time? It doesn't make any sense. Now at least they're establishing, you know what, he's going up against, you know, a machine. You know, how can this guy take them down? What is he going to do next? And I like it. Obviously, we could fight about it all night, but we have other things to move on too. So I think we should move on.
Agree to disagree. What is your rating on the whole show as a whole?
9 out of 10.
Wow, are you serious? You rated it higher than the backup?
Yeah, I don't know. I just liked all the where they're going with all the
Jeez.
Different storylines. Seemed like solid matches, solid matches throughout. So I'm going to give it 9 out of 10.
Wow, you surprise me sometimes, man. You really do. You're off the chain sometimes.
And I liked the idea of a bull rope match, you know, something different instead of just, you know, falls count anywhere, no holds barred. You can see those all day. You know, it's nothing new. So I think they're just injecting a little bit of life with a kind of a interesting stipulation. Even if it didn't live up to its potential, I think it's still a breath of fresh air to have a match like that on the card.
Oh, I completely agree. I love the introduction of the match. It's just that classically it's never been one of my faves, and like this is wrestling, man. Like, everybody likes something different, right? Like, I like some of the stupidest matches, whereas people think I'm like an idiot for liking those matches. But I'm sure there's a million trillion people out there who would say, Corey, you're an idiot, bull rope and strap matches are wicked. But for me, I find them a bit tedious. That's all. I thought it was a fantastic injection too, to spice it up. I never slagged that. I thought it was very creative. I just, it's a very hard match to pull off. That's all.
Well, with these gimmicks too, with professional wrestling, sometimes, you know, it's hard to suspend your disbelief when they throw in, like, a rope or something. But in the back of your mind, you're like, he could just choke him out with that rope. Or he could easily, you know, whip him or pull him. And, you know, when you bring in something like that, it's very difficult to, you know, have a good match around that. It's like the door in the steel cage match, which I never understood. If you really wanted to get out that door, you'd find, you know, enough energy in your legs to make a quick sprint and dive headfirst out the door. It's possible. So it's hard to suspend your disbelief when the guy's slowly crawling. So I think it's that's what I would compare it to, at least.
Good take. Me, I gave the show a 7 because I didn't find anything overly special in it besides the Moondog thing, which I thought was very cool, and I'd like to see where they're going with that. It was just it's not one of those shows where if I stand back and look at a year's worth of ECCW shows, I'm going to remember that show for anything else besides maybe a bull rope match and be like, oh, that show. You know what I mean?
So you're saying not a 9 out of 10, a good show, but
I'm saying a good show.
A plus.
I'm saying another good show by ECCW. Worth my $15, definitely. Nothing that in the long run over all the ECCW shows, I'm going to stand back and be like, yeah, that one stands out. Like, 9? If I give something a 9, which I haven't since we started rating, I think the highest I gave something was an 8, and that was the Pack Cup. So, interesting. Interesting rating by you, Shane. You have a little bit to drink tonight,
overall,
or what?
Overall, 16 out of 20. I think that's a pretty good score.
Did you have a little bit to drink before you made that rating?
No, actually. I had a Coke Zero, like, maybe 2.5 hours ago, and the fucking aftertaste is still burning in my mouth. So the last time I drank one of those. And did you know at McDonald's they had that orange drink?
Yes.
You know, everybody loves that non-carbonated orange drink. Oh, it goes down so nice and smooth on a summer's day.
Mm-hmm.
You go there now, can I have the orange drink? No, we put Coke Zero in. Like, fuck you. Diet Coke is the same thing. I want my orange drink. I'm not going back there.
Petition. We need to get some pickets going, some picket lines going, and petition against this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, and you have good childhood memories of that orange drink. They would bring it in to track meets and sporting events at your school. You just drink it all day. You know, it has that nostalgia feeling. They got rid of it to put in Coke Zero.
It's tragic.
Tragic.
That's my flop of the week.
Yeah.
That's my flop. Okay.
Yeah, I give McDonald's 2 out of 10.
All right, let's move on to the next card before we get into our little news and notes section, which we have. It's actually probably our heaviest news and notes section ever. So, the next show, Greatness on Demand, August 26th, Friday, Surrey, Bridgeview Hall, doors at 7:30, show at 8, $15 for general admission, $18 for front row. You mentioned it earlier, Shane. Gorgeous Michelle Starr and Disco Fury. Former ECCW guys, they are bumping on over from their promotion, ASW All-Star Wrestling, and they are taking on the former Chilltown Boys, now Administration Boys, Scotty Mac and Dropkick Murphy. Where do you think they're going with this one?
I really have no idea. When you bring in All-Star Wrestling guys, automatically they're the enemy. These are the bad guys. They're coming in from another promotion. A lot of fans are, you know, hardcore, loyal ECCW fans. So I would think they would put in, you know, a face team, maybe a Tony Baroni and Jason Sullivan to kind of have that ECCW versus All-Star Wrestling. But they're going with the biggest heels in this one. So interesting to see the crowd dynamic in this one, if the fans begrudgingly will cheer for Scotty Mac and Dropkick just because they're the ECCW guys. I would have liked to see maybe Scotty Mac team up with one of the faces just to say, you know what, we're ECCW guys. As much as we hate each other, let's take out these all-star guys and then deal with our shit after this one. So I'm just interested to see the crowd dynamic.
I think it'll be interesting, too, because I think you might see a lot of old-time ECCW or maybe current All-Star. I think it'll be a good draw is what I think. You might see some All-Star fans come over as well as some old-school ECCW fans come over. So I think it's good for marketing, but I don't think they're going anywhere with it with a storyline. I think it might just be a good one-off. That being said, I think perhaps the perfect time to strike for one Moondog Manson. I heard him muttering he was going to ASW. He obviously has beef with the administration, getting his hardcore championship stripped by Michael Sweetster. So maybe do we see Moondog Manson here strike on the heels of what he said and involving ASW?
I didn't even think of that. That went right over my head, but that makes perfect sense. Maybe Michelle Starr and Disco Fury, a lot of talent in ECCW. I mean, a lot of guys maybe not happy. Maybe a poaching mission, come in for a match, try to see, hey, you know, we got a good thing going at All-Star Wrestling. These guys at ECCW, they're burying you. Why don't you come on over? And I think we've seen that with one or two stars. Me and you were talking about it off mic, that maybe a couple other ECCW guys could be going over to All-Star Wrestling. So actually, you know, now I'm intrigued, you know, with this whole dynamic of Jason Sullivan, possibly a screw job. Yeah, this actually could be pretty interesting.
NWA ECCW Canadian Championship match. Triple threat. We haven't seen one of those. Brony hasn't fought in one of them. So he's fought in a ladder match. He's had a bull rope match. Never had a triple threat match. He's taking on Cremator Von Slasher, who I guess married Rigger Von Slasher and took his last name. He beat Jason Sullivan last event. And I don't know if it was announced, but apparently he got a shot out of that. And Jason Sullivan qualifies for this match by having beat Scotty Mack and Bishop, who was actually the number one contender in September. So he gets a shot despite losing to Cremator. I was really confused by that. But anyways, triple threat match. We know Sullivan and Baroni have a past. Baroni kind of getting his start, almost flying under the wing of Jason Sullivan. What do you expect from this match? You got Baroni, who can be whippy, who can do some high flying. And then you got two guys who are down to ground and pound. What do you think?
Well, it looks like obviously they're moving on from the Tony Baroni, Pete Powers thing. I don't know. I think this could just be an in-between match. You know, they want to get their three big guys in there. I really don't know where they're going with this. We're just going to have to wait and see. Maybe we'll see some interference by, I don't know who we'd see interference with. Maybe the Druid, Tony Baroni's really got nobody. Jason Sullivan, maybe Sid Sylum, but I don't see Sylum. He has no business in this match, so I really have no idea what's going to happen in this one. I think it's just a one-off, and we'll see Brony start a program with somebody else for the title.
NWA Canadian Junior Heavyweight Championship. Artemis Spencer taking on Mike Santiago, who I mentioned. DOA Pure Champion. We've seen him at the last couple shows. Not looking too bad. So he'll take on Artie. Probably a one-off on this one, too. Artie seems to be just kind of mowing through the junior heavyweight division, taking on opponent after opponent. Doesn't look like they're going to be starting a program with him with anybody. It looks like Artie's probably pretty much just going to run the gauntlet. He's a good guy to kind of use for opening shows. Good kind of high energy, good kind of whippy wrestler that you want to use to open your shows. I remember back when WCW in its heyday, and I just said that, in its heyday, they would start out with the Luchas or the High Flyers to kind of get the crowd going and get them amped up. So I think that's what they're doing with Artie, and he's taking on another, I don't want to say random opponent, in Mike Santiago.
Well, Mike Santiago, he was on the last card, and I think this match would have benefited from maybe Santiago just taking to the mic before his match at the last event and saying, you know what, Artemis Spencer, he calls himself a champion. You know, I'm a champion. I'm a better champion than he'll ever be. Just to build a little bit of heat between these two. And maybe they could do, you know, one of those famous belt showdowns like we saw with CM Punk and Cena, where they're raising the belt on each corner. Wasn't that stupid? Actually, I don't want to see that. That was retarded.
That was terrible. That reminded me of the
it's like, now my music, now your music, now my music. Like, these guys are supposed to hate each other, and it was terrible.
They were having a music battle. Yes, I know. I agree.
Yeah, it's like my Power Ranger toys are better than your Ninja Turtle toys. Like, it was stupid. Power Rangers are 100 times better than Ninja Turtle toys. The Megazord and the Ultra Dragon Zord and the Mega Super Ultra Zord. so many different combinations.
Oh, totally, totally. And the big man, Bishop, he lost to Moondog Manson for the hardcore strap, now defunct hardcore strap. Bishop takes on Jamie Diaz. I'm thinking a one-off. We've been asking for a program for Diaz for a while. He seems to be on every card, but not doing much. One-off, or what do you think we're going to see here between Bishop and Jamie Diaz?
Well, it's got to be a one-off because we know Bishop has a title shot coming up. They're not going to start something with Diaz, have Bishop go into a title match and lose all that steam. So it's a one-off.
And finally, and it sounds like they've met your wish. Sid Salem continues running the gauntlet of the natural selection. He's taking on Azeem the Dream, who's been out for a little while. Salem taking on the selection again. What do you think happens here? Another beatdown, perhaps? Maybe bailed out by Jason Sullivan, you think?
Well, I wanted to see this one just because I thought Azeem the Dream and Sid Salem, they seemed like they were the closest in the old natural selection. We saw when Salem came back, Azeem the Dream, he kind of looked, you know, genuinely excited that Salem was back. And I just want to see what dynamic they use here. We heard that Azeem the Dream was the only one of the selection to try to contact Salem while he was out with his injury. We heard that on Turnbuckle Time. And, you know, maybe Azeem's been out for a while. Maybe he doesn't like what's going on with the natural selection right now. Maybe Salem could poach Azeem the Dream and bring him over to his side. Like I said, Asylum has to recruit somebody to take out this monster. I doubt it's Azeem the Dream. He's a pretty hardcore heel in ECCW, but, you know, stranger things have happened. So I think this is going to be a big turning point in the Asylum saga.
I hope we have some. I think what you're saying is maybe a bit much. I don't see Azeem turning either, but I hope it's a building block in this storyline, and I hope it's even if Sid gets beat down, don't have him bailed out by Jason Sullivan made to look like a puss. Like, leave him beat down and let Sid fight on his own or something like that, or make him approach Jason Sullivan for the help, not just have Sullivan come out and be another lifesaver. But I expect something there, and I think it'll be a good match too, because like you said, these guys know each other. It should be good. So that's the card for Greatness on Demand.
When is that one?
August 26th, Friday, Surrey, Ridgeview Hall, 8 p.m. is bell time, baby. Let's get into some news and notes here, Shane, and quite an extensive bunch of news and notes. I know you have some dates and some things you would like to talk about, but I'm going to dip into this one just because it's well overdue and it's past a couple of weeks now. ICW Wrestling at the Agra Fair, 2, sometimes 3 shows a day for 5 days down at the Agra Fair in Abbotsford with none other than Sean Val Venus Morley, in attendance wrestling. Shane, you obviously weren't able to get out there, but I did, and I thought it was a fantastic way to kind of see ECCW without ECCW. It was kind of under the format where if you were at the fair, you had paid admission already, so you could come and watch these wrestling shows whenever. Wrestlers like Sid, wrestlers like Jamie Diaz, Danny Deeds, Jr., Cremator, Bishop even. We had Casey Spinelli. I know Nicole and Artie were out for a show. And even some guys debuting, which was kind of nice to see. We talk about how you bring in a few characters to kind of talk, to bring in some old school wrestling fans. And you talk about bringing up that young talent. It's always good to have some fresh faces. One of the men that you would recognize as one of the referees in ECCW, wrestler and trainer, his character name, Grayson Vaux. He was actually in action, making his debut. Unfortunately, not under the ECCW brand. He was making his debut. And you know what? I was really impressed with this guy. Besides Val Venus, believe it or not, and I did miss a few shows, but the shows I did see, besides Val Venus, this kid got the biggest pop. Kind of came out to kind of a darker character, almost very, at first glance, it would take you right back to the Attitude Era and think of Gangrel, but the more I got to talk to him and figure out what it was all about, this guy is a very normal guy that's just trying to, not so much a gimmick, he didn't want to call it a gimmick, it's just, he said it's who he is, turned up to the notch. So let's get to that audio right now. This is Grayson Vaux talking about his experience wrestling at ICW in the Agra Fair, and just about wrestling with some of these guys.
I don't know if I'd say I'm a gimmick. A lot of people come out and they have, you know, like the Doink the Clown, where it's a flat out character gimmick. I mean, like, I do a character of sorts, but this is kind of, you know how everyone has kind of a dark side in them? You know, when I was growing up, I was really angry kind of dude, and I listened to a lot of dark music, and, you know, when I was a bit younger, I used to go to a lot of goth clubs in Vancouver. I used to go to, like, you know, like Sin City and all that kind of stuff. And I've always been really fascinated by, like, the gothic subculture. And there's always been that kind of little side to me that, you know, I like to read the books and I like the, you know, comic books about vampires and all that kind of stuff. And it's just kind of a natural, like, this is who I am kind of inside, just turned way, way up, you know, like... Just, yeah, I won't necessarily look like this when I'm walking around the fair, but, you know, this is kind of who I am.
Well, I will say that was a very good explanation because at first glance, he is very scary and very ghoulish, I will say that. Grayson, take us a little bit through your experience today. You got to wrestle guys like Sid Sylum and near the end there, Ray Brooks. Talk a little bit about being in the ring for the first time in front of a crowd. What was that experience like for a guy just getting into it?
You know, when you get up and you get to the show and you're told, okay, we've matched you up, you're going to wrestle Sid Sylum. The first thought was, I'm wrestling today? Like, I kind of didn't think I'd be wrestling. I didn't think I was quite ready. Like, I was confident, but I was still unsure of whether I could, you know, get a win kind of thing. They told me, you know, you got your stuff? Yeah. Why? Well, we need you to wrestle Sid Sylum. And Sid Sylum, former NWA Canadian Heavyweight Champion, former ECCW champion at the same time. You know, Sid Sylum's been around for a long time. He's very, very good at what he does. So I'm not even going to lie. I was very intimidated. Like, here's a guy who's bigger than me. He's been around longer than me. He's held our big belts. You know, he's been the guy. And now I got to wrestle him in my very first match. And I was terrified. Terrified. And you know, I may have got a little overconfident. When I went out there, I may have... You know, took him a bit lightly. He kicked my ass. He beat me down pretty good and dropped me on my head and, you know, pinned me for the three count. But it was to go out and wrestle your first match with a guy who's been an NWA Canadian Heavyweight Champion is nuts, man. Like, I was on cloud. I got beat, but I was on cloud nine. It was great.
So a little baptism of fire, it sounds like. Take us through your match with Ray Brooks, which wasn't a normal Ray Brooks match. Usually we say Ray Brooks is the lovable kind of underdog, and in this case, you were kind of the lovable underdog. How was it like to be in that role?
It was really strange because, you know, the way I look, you know, I dress kind of darkly. I like to, this is just kind of how I like to be and how I like to portray myself. And Ray Brooks, you know, he kind of used it against me. You know, he made fun of me, and his girlfriend of his that beat up Nicole Matthews or slapped Nicole Matthews. I don't know where that came from. Is out there and she's talking smack to me, like, you know, and I think, you know, the people didn't like it, and normally they like it, but here's a new guy, and I think the people were like, hey man, give the guy a break, and they you can almost say they turned to the dark side. They kind of supported me, and it was really kind of bizarre, but I'm really grateful for it. You know, it's a lot better when the people they want to see you win as opposed to really this guy. Really, so it was really cool. I mean, again, it was also Ray Brooks. He's a vet. He's been wrestling for like 15 years, something along those lines. And you know, it was a privilege to wrestle him. Ray Brooks, his girlfriend Mandy. I don't know this girl, but she jumps up on the apron just as I'm like thinking I'm gonna win him. Like, this is crazy. This is my second ever match. I'm gonna win. And she jumps up, starts talking smack. Okay, fine. I try to get rid of her. Ray Brooks gets me from behind, rocket dropper. Ray Brooks gets the win. But you know, same thing as Sylum. There's very few people, you know, that you can take a loss from and feel good about it. You know, vets like him, Ray's been here forever. You know. I want a rematch, though. You know, if they ever bring back that Slam Academy title, I think Ray was the last one to have it. I'd like to get my hands on that.
So can we safely say that on your first ECCW official card, Ray Brooks is the guy you want?
I would love to wrestle him. There's a couple guys I'd really like to wrestle, you know? Like, Ray Brooks definitely on top of the list. You know, I mean, in a perfect world, I'd debut versus, you know, the world champ, you know, or the heavyweight champ, but I seriously doubt that. But yeah, Ray Brooks or Danny Deeds. I've spent a lot of time training with him, and I'd kind of like to almost show one of my teachers what I've learned. I'd really enjoy wrestling Danny Deeds.
So there you heard Grayson Vox talking about, you know, he gets his debut against Sid Sylum, of all people, the former double champ, one of the big guys in the company, and he wrestles Ray Brooks, talked about wanting to wrestle Ray again, talks about some training with Danny Deeds. What are your thoughts in ECCW and bringing in some fresh talent, Shane?
I think it's great, and I remember, so this, I don't know if it was his debut, if you want to call back at ECCW Halloween Hell, we saw him in the gimmick. What do they call it? Gimmick Battle Royal? What was
that? Yeah, that was the Gimmick Battle Royal, yeah.
Costume Battle Royal, I think
yes,
it was.
Yes, sorry, yeah.
And he came out as Gangrel, a vampire character. And if I recall then, he had a huge pop. You know, one of the hugest pops of the night. Him and Casey Spinelli coming in as Snooki. So, I don't know, something about this guy that the fans, they just want to cheer him. So, obviously, it's great. And to have new talent coming up in ECCW, you see these guys working referees, working outside the ring. And eventually to see them, you know, step up and wrestle in the ring. I don't know, I think it's pretty rewarding for not only the wrestlers, but for the fans too, just to see them pay their dues and see it all pay off in the end.
And I don't want to see this guy get a swelled head, because the last thing you need in the locker room is more egos. But I was talking to some of the boys from ECCW about Grayson, what they thought of him, most of the guys who had worked with him over the weekend. And they said, you know what, this guy's got promise. He really looks sharp, and with a little bit of more training under his belt and maybe in front of some real crowds, he could really have some promise, and I think that's fantastic for ECCW. Moving on, though, Val Venus, of course. How could I forget Val Venus? He took on the Bollywood Lions in his first show, and what a treat for the Bollywood Lions to get to take on a Canadian wrestling superstar in Val Venus, triple threat match. Val obviously coming out on top. How big do you think that is for the Bollywood Lions? These guys are coming up. They're starting to get more media attention. We put them over every show. We think they're fantastic. How psyched do you think they must have been to wrestle with Mr. Val Venus?
Well, obviously, no question, they're psyched, and I think it's a great opportunity for them. They're the, you know, heels. Even if those people out in Abbotsford don't know who they are, as soon as they come out and start interacting with the crowd, you know you're supposed to boo these guys. And everybody's there to see Val Venus. Everybody's there to cheer for Val Venus. So I think just the dynamic between those, you know, that crowd and the Bollywood Lions, I think it probably worked out perfectly for them. And a lot of people, I'm sure they had a good time and a good launching point for the Bollywood Lions.
Now, I'm not going to play it in this episode of Turnbuckle Time, but I will be releasing an interview I did with promoter and wrestler Diamond Tim Flowers, who put together that whole ICW show with Val there. So we'll be talking to him. I'll be talking to him. So I'm going to release that separately. But I mentioned it here. You can download it in a separate little file. And then Val, in his second one, took on a guy from ASW who I previously saw fight Billy Suede at the Adam Firestorm Memorial Show, the Great Kazaki. And this guy's funny, and I wouldn't mind seeing him in ECCW either. Shane, if you can look him up on YouTube, you should check this guy out. He's quite comical. Not the most athletic in the ring, but definitely a fun guy to watch. And he took on Val in a losing effort in the second one. And once again, a great show. I'll leave the ICW stuff there. I don't want to get too into detail there. But good show. Great to see some of the lesser used wrestlers get a chance to get out there and try some new characters. I think we even saw heel Ray Brooks, which was hilarious. Great show, and good job by the wrestlers. And keep that up and coming talent training, and let's see some new guys in the ICW or ECCW. What the heck? Shane, you have some dates for us with regards to some wrestling up north.
Yes, you mentioned the Great Kazaki. He's actually going to be wrestling up in Rutland. Okanagan Cup, he's taking on Bruiser Joe in the Okanagan Cup quarterfinal. So this is Thrash Wrestling's kind of version of the PAC Cup. Friday, August 19th, and huge breaking news, Corey. Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Are you sitting down for
this? Yes, I am.
Breaking news, Beer Gardens now available at the Rutland Centennial Hall for this event. So I think it's going to be a huge event. I worked at a liquor store in Rutland. I know how popular beer and Sherry 74 are in that community. So I don't see any Sherry 74, so it might hurt the attendance a little bit. But it's going to be a great show, and there's going to be tailgating in the parking lot beforehand. So that's the Okanagan Cup, August 19th. You got Marty Sugar on that one, Bruiser Joe,
Marty
Mad
Sugar.
Dog.
Marty Sugar's
I said Marty Sugar already.
He's a big fan of the show, by the way. He loves the show.
Oh, is he? I saw he tweeted about it
eight times.
Loved it.
We get more tweets from that guy about the show in a day than we do from anybody else.
Hey, free publicity.
Hey,
I'll take it.
Good or bad. Keep it coming.
And then they also that weekend, they have another show in Enderby, an Eye for Annihilation. So that's also another Okanagan show. And I did see on Facebook that they're bringing in the big names now. D.H. Smith, the son of the Bulldog, is going to be wrestling right here in Vernon with Thrash on October 22nd in Vernon. So it looks like they got quite a few good shows coming up. And I'm really disappointed I'm going to miss this beer garden in Rutland. I got some business to take care of in Squamish that weekend. But, You know, I think every time we went to ECCW, we said, you know how great it would be to have a nice ice-cold beer right now? We always said things would probably get a little out of hand if that happened, so be interesting to see what goes on in the crowd, never mind in the ring at the Okanagan Cup.
No doubt. So it'll be interesting. That's one thing that Thrash has on ECCW. I remember the first time we were about to come to an ECCW show, we went on the Facebook fan page, and you left a comment, do you guys have beer? And you left it, I think, three times. You were, like, demanding an answer, and we didn't get one. We found out when we went to the show that there's no beer. But that's one that they have up on ECCW, a beer garden. That's pretty sweet.
And they have live music, too, a band called Pull in Case of Fire, too. So it seems like they're really marketing this one pretty
It's like their WrestleMania almost,
hopefully, hopefully they have a good turnout for this one.
It's like their WrestleMania almost. They got live bands, tailgate. They have the access party out front. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And with the first Okanagan Cup ever, you're going to have an Okanagan Cup champions. I'm still not familiar with enough of the guys, but I'm going to say Casey Andrews, you know, Mad Dog, Marty Sugar, and Black Dragon. I'm going to go throw him in there. He seemed pretty cool. Those are my top picks.
Awesome, Shane. We're going to get you hopefully to give us a little bit of results from that. I know ASW has some shows coming up, but I can't confirm them because if you go on their website, their last dated show is July 22nd. Which to my recollection is almost a month ago. So hopefully they can update that site and I can find out when their shows are because I'd love to go see an ASW show and get more out there. One more news of note of slight significance. Rick, one of my favorite heels, leaving ECCW for a while. We saw him wrestle with Nicole Matthews there at Bull Rope, but he will be going back to Australia dealing with some personal stuff, conquering some demons, no doubt. So we won't see Rick for a little while, which is a dang shame because he was just starting to get rolling with that persona. Shane, what are we playing out to today?
Oh, I always like to look back at the card and see, you know, if any match or any wrestler jumps out at me and pick their music. So I'm looking. Price seems like he's having a coming out party, maybe something.
Okay, there it is. Price. I'm calling it Price. Stop there. We haven't done Price.
Let's do Price.
Okay, Price. Easy. Said and done. All right,
easy
Shane.
Enough.
Good. Perfect. I like it. Shane, thank you so much for doing this again, and we'll talk to you for the next event, Greatness on Demand, and see what your thoughts are on that one. Thanks again.
Yeah, and follow me on Twitter at the Shardcast. We're not doing the Twitter shoutouts anymore, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Follow me at CD Basso on Twitter. You can follow at ECCW. Most of the wrestlers have. The Twitter accounts, too, so you can creep them out. I'm not going to be the guy giving those out. I don't want to get the crap kicked out of me on the next show for purveying stalking. You can follow ECCW on their Facebook fan page as well as ECCW.com. Can we get to
the Turnbuckle Time Twitter account?
Oh, wow.
Don't forget that.
Might be important. At Turnbuckle Time. In case you
there we go.
In case you couldn't guess. Good. Price is music, okay? You happy now?
I'm happy. I'm loving it.
Okay, perfect. I'll talk to you next time, buddy. Cheers.